Knowledge is power, and we are all about empowering the mamas of the world. In each episode, we will unravel and interpret the latest research and evidence-based practices for pregnancy, postpartum, and motherhood. As mums and researchers ourselves, we have experienced firsthand the overwhelming complexity of information, myths, and those classic old wives' tales. I'm Dr. Renee White, and this is The Science of Motherhood.
Hello, and welcome to episode 105 of The Science of Motherhood. I am your host, Dr. Renee White. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you're all getting off to a good start for the year. Today is one of our Check-in Tuesday episodes, and I'm going to be sharing with you some latest research on a topic that, oh my goodness, affects quite a number of women across the world. I think the statistics are between 1 in 3 in 100 pregnancies actually suffer from this really awful condition. And we have not known for a long time what has caused this condition, but a team of scientists last year published a paper to elude a bit of information on that topic. But before we dive into that research, I just wanted to extend a really big thank you to all of those people who have been leaving reviews for the podcast, and your kind words. I read all of them. I love reading them. I love hearing about your topics of interest. We get DMs on Instagram and even emails and things like that, letting us know how helpful these podcast episodes are. It's such a nice thing to receive, particularly because I am, you know, in a band of one here talking to a microphone all by myself in my office. I've got the beautiful sun shining in. I'm recording from Hobart in Australia. And it's so nice to receive those messages from everyone to let me know that, you know, particular interviews really resonated with them, or that they've sent them along to a friend or family member who they think really needs to hear what was discussed in that episode. So I just wanted to say thank you for those people who send through their messages. And I also would highly encourage you to leave a review, even if it's just hitting those 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. You don't even have to write any words if you're pressed for time. I totally get it. But yes, if you leave us a review or just hit those 5 stars, it does such amazing things for our podcast. Like, you have no idea. And it just gives us a bigger platform to spread the word and, I guess, support friends and family and those who are experiencing motherhood, pregnancy, postpartum, all of those things. So go ahead, hit those stars. I would love, love, love to see those reviews as well. So let's dive into today's episode. It is a Check-in Tuesday episode, which means it's one of our shorter episodes. We do these every fortnight, and they are bookended by our longer extended guest interviews. So today I wanted to talk about a particular research paper that was published last year. I've actually got it here in front of me, which is very cool. It was published by a team, well, all the good science for all those playing at home is never, ever, ever just a single person. And it's typically never, ever, ever just a single lab either. It requires just cross efforts and multifactorial, multidisciplinary efforts. And that is what we have here today. And we're talking about a huge discovery in the field of women's health. And the disorder that we're talking about today is, and I'm going to get this right because it is a bit of a tongue tie, and I'm only going to say it once and then I'm going to put in its acronym. So it's hyperemesis gravidarum, which everyone knows on the street is HG. And HG, for any of those people who have been hiding under a rock, or this is your first rodeo in terms of pregnancy, HG is like a seriously debilitating disorder where we didn't know for a very, very long time up until quite recently with this, you know, particular paper and a few little papers beforehand, is that what is actually causing this disorder in women? And this is where throughout pregnancy, women feel extremely nauseous and there is a lot of vomiting. And typically that can lead to hospitalization. You know, mothers are put on IV drips just to kind of survive their pregnancy. And I think it really got a lot of airplay when the Duchess of Cambridge was diagnosed with it. And I think that's how we all worked out that she was pregnant very, very quickly. I personally have never experienced HG. I had some nausea for probably the first, I think, 13 weeks. I never vomited, but I had a lot of nausea. And I don't know anyone personally who had it or has had it. But I watched, and this is many moons ago, the Amy Schumer documentary around her stand-up comedy act. And serendipitously, she was actually pregnant when she was preparing for this comedy act. And she had HG. And you saw firsthand how debilitating it actually was. And it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. She was hospitalized so many times and she would just constantly be going from one event or one interview to the next with a bag and a bucket. And she was such a trooper though. She would just like vomit, turn around, wash her mouth out, wipe her face, and then she'd be on stage within, you know, 2-3 minutes to do her stand-up comedy act. It was, wow. Super, super brave of her to do that. And I can't even imagine the energy that would have taken out of her. But interestingly, we have been in the dark for a number of, you know, decades now as to why certain women experience HG and others don't. And then obviously the severity of it as well differs amongst the population. So amazing work. Again, as I said previously, this is not a one-man show. This effort was a culmination of work discovered and analysed by a number of research units, including the University of Cambridge. There was research done through Scotland, the USA, and even Sri Lanka. And what they elucidated, I guess, was the role of a particular hormone called GDF and how that acts on the mother's brain to cause her to feel nauseous and vomit. So GDF, or growth differentiation factor 15, it's actually a stress-regulated hormone that can be produced in almost any and every cell and tissue in the human body. And what they discovered was that the hormone is actually produced by the fetus, and how sick the mum actually feels is dependent on a combination of things. The first thing is how much of the hormone is produced by the baby. And then the second factor is how much exposure the mother had to this particular hormone, GDF15, before she was pregnant. And so what they did was there was a combination of approaches, including, you know, human genetics and even some new ways of measuring hormones in pregnant women's blood. Of course, they did studies on cells and mice as well, which was really interesting. And what they showed was that the degree of nausea and vomiting that a mother experiences in pregnancy is related to both the amount made of the GDF by the fetus and the placenta kind of unit and sent into her bloodstream, and how sensitive she was to that kind of nauseating effect of the hormone. So what they discovered was that GDF, when it's typically made and circulating around our bloodstream at a very low level in, you know, all tissues outside of pregnancy, But how sensitive the mother is to the hormone during pregnancy influences how much she'll actually be exposed to during pregnancy. So women who have, you know, that normal kind of level are kind of, you know, okay with the nausea, but women who have a lower than average level of GDF in their bloodstream are at a higher risk of developing severe nausea and vomiting. And it was really interesting because they actually found during the study that a rare genetic variant actually puts women at a much greater risk of HG when they're associated with that lower level of hormone in their blood and tissues outside of pregnancy. And similarly, you know, the flip side of that is that women who have inherited a blood disorder called beta thalassemia, that causes them to actually have a very high level, so a naturally very high level of GDF prior to pregnancy. And those women, in fact, don't experience or have very little nausea and vomiting, which is really, really interesting. So I guess as an overall, there's two things. GDF15 is a hormone. It's produced by the fetus and placenta, you know, combined. That travels through to the bloodstream and goes into the mother's brain, and then that is what affects her nausea and vomiting. And the centralized study found that those women who have an average or high level of GDF prior to pregnancy in their bloodstream are less likely to experience HG. And conversely, those who have a lower or below average concentration of GDF15 in their bloodstream prior to pregnancy are more predisposed to experiencing HG as a disorder. And so what does this mean as a long-term thing? Well, you know, with everything in science, every time we answer one question, 10 more questions unfold. But this is really interesting because what they've done is they've identified the hormone. And so I guess there's a couple of things that, you know, I'm sure scientists are looking at now. For those women who typically have that below average GDF15 in their bloodstream, they could be tested and work out what that range has to be, whether you fall into that below average or not. And then for those women who are planning to become pregnant, I would assume if I was, you know, a scientist or, you know, a pharma company, that in order to reduce your likelihood of experiencing HG during pregnancy, we would probably be seeing these women taking some sort of, you know, for argument's sake, a pill that contained GDF15, and you would have that kind of slow exposure to GDF15 up to your pregnancy. And therefore, once you become pregnant and your baby and the placenta start producing GDF15 at a kind of higher rate, you're less likely to experience HG because you've been previously exposed. So this is a really amazing discovery. Finally, finally, we know what is causing this. Albeit, you know, we're still going to see things like ginger, chewing gum and other drugs be, you know, targeting and helping to reduce symptoms. But I think this is a really great foundation for the scientific community to start thinking about what they can actually do to help women with HG, because I know that there are a lot of people out there who are essentially one and done because they just do not want to experience that horrific disorder again. All right, then. I hope you have found that really, really interesting. I think it's an amazing discovery. I love that we are still putting investment and time and energy into women's health research. Of course, we always need more. I would love to know your thoughts. If you are someone who experienced HG, I'd love to know, what does that mean to you? What actually worked for you? Did anything work? Were you a ginger fiend, or was it just nothing actually, touched the sides with that? All right, until next time, see you. Bye.
If you loved this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. If you know someone out there who would also love to listen to this episode, please hit the share button so they can benefit from it as well. Thank you for listening to The Science of Motherhood. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening to The Science of Motherhood. If you would like to contact us, we are at ifillyourcup.com, or you can DM us at ifillyourcup_ via Instagram. You can find all of our services, including our postpartum in-home care and our Fill Your Freezer meal delivery service as well, through both those channels. Thanks so much for listening.